Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And we are on our final day this week of, again, like I've said every day, we're barely even scratching the surface of this amazing deep passage of Revelation 21. And this is one of those passages, like I said yesterday, that sit with it, meditate on it. I can't tell you how many days, weeks, months I've meditated over and over again on this passage. And as I go through it, God wants to bring us into a heart understanding. Not just like a practical theological understanding. You can get, again, there's so many Catholic resources out there, Catholic Answers, Dr. Scott Hahn, resources from Franciscan University on like, really, let's break down Revelation. What's going on here? But what we're doing this week is sitting with this passage, sitting with the Lord, and allowing him to bring a deep heart understanding, which deepens our desire, for him and gives us a longing for God and a longing for heaven. And so that's what we're doing here. And we've been going through the Psalms. We started in Psalm 50 and praying our Psalms at the beginning of each one of each day. And again, I want to encourage you, as you're praying this Psalm, grab onto a line, grab onto a particular part of the Psalm and pray that over and over and over again today. Make it what sticks in your mind and sticks in your heart. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Save me, O God, by thy name, and vindicate me by thy might. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For insolent men have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will requite my enemies with evil. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For you have delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. Lord, we will give thanks to your name, for it is good. We will give a free offering, a free sacrifice to you. So we just make that our prayer today, Lord. As we come before you, as we read this scripture, as we walk through every single step of our day, as we go to work, as we take care of the kids, as we drive in our car, whatever we're doing, we will give thanks to you, O Lord. We will give thanks to your name, for it is good. Make that our prayer. Let it rest on our hearts and rest on our lips. We give thanks to you, O Lord, for you are good. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just a reminder, if you've been listening with us this week, Pine Hills Girls Camp is currently going on. If you're listening to this in real time, if you're listening to this in retrospect, still continue to pray for these girls. We've got over 200 middle school girls coming together in Jackson, Michigan for the 40th year to seek the Lord, to encounter the person of Jesus, to learn how to be girls again together, to build community in the power of the Spirit. So please pray for Pine Hills Girls Camp that's happening right now. So as we come here, we left off yesterday in Revelation 21 with that powerful phrase and a phrase that you know, behold, I make all things new. And as we approach this passage again, I'm going to start there. As we approach this passage again, that's not just like a fun phrase to say. It's not just like a thing to make us feel better. This is a really legitimate promise from God. It's something that God is saying from his throne. And remember, he said, write this down, for it's trustworthy and true. What is true? It's true that he will make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. Revelation 21:5. Write these words, for they are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without price from the fountain of the water of life. He who conquers shall have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, as for murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their lot shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You might be saying, whoa, that took a turn there. Are we really? Let's just skip over that last part, because that's not as fun as, behold, I make all things new. But there's a way that these things all go together. So there's a promise echoing from the throne of God. Behold, I make all things new. And the invitation for us today is to hold on to this. As we said on Monday, something new is coming. In every season of our lives, every step of the way in salvation history, God is saying, I'm coming. I'm redeeming you. I'm making you new. I'm transforming your heart. And friends, there's a promise in there, not just for the end times, but for now. Maybe there's an area of your life that you're saying, this is dead. It's never going to come back to life. I can't quit this sin. This relationship is never going to get better. Whatever it is, this suffering is never going to change. And you've given in to hopelessness. And God is saying to you through this passage, he's saying, there is nothing that I can't do. He's saying it throughout all of Scripture. Isaiah 43 echoes this. And it says, you know, Revelation 25, behold, I make all things new. Isaiah 43, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? That is happening in your life when you invite the Holy Spirit in. If you turn today to God and say, do a new thing in my life, recreate me. He's saying, behold, I'm doing a new thing in your heart. Do you not perceive it happening? And friends, even though the world looks crazy, even though it looks messy, even though we're like, how could God possibly have anything under control? He says, even now, especially now, I'm doing a new thing on the earth, and I'm looking to my followers. I'm looking for believers, for followers of my son who is seeing the new thing, who's saying, I want to be a part of a new thing. There's another promise, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The behold, the old has passed away and the new has come. He will make everything new at the end of time, but there's grace for transformation that is available to you right now. You know, there's an old song that I love called The Power of Your Love. And it's not the Celine Dion song, I promise, even though I love that song too, The Power of Love. But it's talking about the power of God's love. And the lyrics are, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on by the power of your love. The chorus is, hold me close. Let your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle. And it's this whole thing of the power of God's love transforms us. It transforms us. It's not us just trying hard. I love, again, some of my favorite lyrics, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know that the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. This idea that the love of God even now comes and transforms us, makes us new. There is a transformation available to you even now, even today. God wants to renew your heart and renew your mind. Amen. He continues on, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without price. We see this so much in scriptures. Remember John 14, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. This is Jesus to the woman at the well. Over and over again, we see in the Gospel of John, Jesus being food and being water. Who's thirsty? I don't know about you, but I want to be thirsty for God. I want to desire him. Isaiah 55, come all who are thirsty, come to the waters. There's this thing that God is communicating to us. He says, I am the beginning and the end. And what you really thirst for, what you want, what you desire in the depths of your heart, I will quench. I will give you living water. And that goes back to that part of that psalm that we read earlier in the week saying, when David said, I'm like an olive tree planted in God's house. And God's water comes and satisfies me. Saying at the end, I'm the Alpha, Omega. I will give water to the thirsty from the fountain of the water of life. That's in Jesus. The spring of living water flows from the throne of God. If you're thirsty, come to me. Take the water of life freely. He continues on. He who conquers shall have this heritage. What does it mean to conquer? It means to make it to the end. Over and over again in Revelation, we see in this image that Jesus gives to John, he says, he who makes it to the end will conquer. He who conquers will sit on the throne. Friends, you're like, how do I do this? How do I get to the end? How do I gain eternal life? Just keep going. If you fall, get back up again. If you feel that you don't have strength, ask for endurance. Lean on the grace and strength of the Lord. Take the next right step in front of you. Just keep going. He who conquers will have this heritage. I will be his God and he shall be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, as for murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their lot shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Why I want to touch on this is it's crazy. What God shows John, the first thing he shows John isn't those that will perish in the second death in the lake of fire, right? That they'll be thrown into the lake of fire when the wheat and the chaff are separated and the chaff is thrown into the fire. That they will be cast down into hell is what that means. That they will be burned up in the lake and have a second death while those who are righteous will gain eternal life. It's amazing. The first thing that isn't said is those who are murderous. You know, it does say that, but it doesn't say it first. What does it say first? And this is why it's so convicting. As for the cowardly, for the faithless, the polluted, the cowardly. This is an amazing, convicting revelation that God is saying those who do not have courage at the end, that there will be those who will not stand for God, who will not stand for Jesus. They won't be murdering. They won't be lying. They won't be slaying the righteous. But they will be cowards. They will be ones who will refuse to stand up for what is right, who will refuse to speak the name of Jesus, who will refuse to be seen as righteous. They will be neutral, the cowardly, the faithless. Over and over again, especially in the book of Hebrews, faith is credited to Abraham as righteousness. Faith, those who have faith will live. God is saying, if you're cowardly, if you don't have courage, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. If you don't have faith, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. If you're polluted, if you're watered down by the things of this world, if the world pollutes you. You know, recently I was talking to a young woman that is in a discipleship group with me. And I was saying to them, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to give up social media for a while. Because I was saying like, oh, I just need to learn how to use it prudently. I need to learn how to limit my time on social media. But then I was realizing even when I did limit my time, the things I was seeing, they weren't like sinful, but they were worldly. I was seeing stuff about fashion. I was seeing stuff about celebrities, about stuff going on in the world. And it's not like that's evil, but it was polluting my mind. And so I was convicted of saying, why am I saying, oh, I'm just going to limit the time that I allow worldliness to come into my life? I was like, why am I not saying I want no time that worldliness can come into my life and I want to cut it off completely? So there's a conviction here that's God is saying new things are coming, but some will not enter. Some will be judged. And part of those who are judged are the faithless, the polluted, and the cowardly. So we pray, God, give us courage, give us faith, and let us not pollute our hearts with the world, that we may see you face to face as you make all things new. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.